Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
When the rich man Lazarus died, and he was talking to Abraham, and said, between me there's a great gulf fixed between hence and thence that you cannot pass. And he asked Father Abraham to send somebody back to minister to his brothers so they would not come to this place of torment. I'm just recapping the story in the Bible. Are you with me? So it's telling us that the dead people could, at that time, prior to Jesus being born and dying and raised from the dead, could talk to each other and could see each other. Yes, God revealed the conversation. So he asked Abraham, send somebody back to preach to my brother. Jesus said, they wouldn't believe though one was sent back from the dead. Wait a minute. Y'all could do that? Abraham, you can actually send somebody back into this dimension and have them preach to your brother, preach to his brother so they wouldn't come? He said they wouldn't listen, let them hear Moses and the prophets. See, in other words, you have to look at what God is showing you here. He's showing the limits and non-limits, amen, in the dimensions when it comes to God's power. You got to remember, God made man from the dust of the earth. God hadn't lost no power. And so here, we're dealing with God the Father. That's right. This was still Old Testament. And so here, the Bible is just so awesome. So that he wouldn't do it. Say, let them hear Moses and the prophet, the credibility of the word of God. There are people now, you're preaching to them. They better hear it now. They're going to be able to change their mind. But what he was saying was, let them go back and tell my brother so they won't come to this place of torment, because they were in the place of torment. Abraham wasn't in the place of torment. So it showed the division, amen, of hell, of paradise, and Hades after you die. Nobody could go to heaven. Jesus hadn't died. The way into heaven was not made yet. The veil had not been rent. Man couldn't go to heaven. Amen. Until Jesus had come and made heaven available again. But let's go further. All right, so am I helping anybody? I know this is a lot of information, but listen, you got to get this. I want it to come together for you. So when you study now, this is God the Father. So when you look at the Old Testament, you look at Abraham dealing with God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But let me get back over to the love. And then with Jesus, what occurs is, as a Christian, because Jesus died, he redeemed, he's our redeemer. What Jesus did relates specifically to what man lost when Adam fell. So down here in the earth, when you look at the life of Jesus, you want to look closely and understand, because he's getting back what you had in the beginning. He's getting back. He came to get back what man had at the original creation. This is Redeemer. And so in doing this, of course, Jesus lived in the presence. Amen. You look through all of the Gospels and he's teaching them, because none of them were saved. Now, when you look in the Old Testament, look at the other part of the Old Testament. Amen. When you look at the tabernacle, you look at the law. The law is showing a picture, a pattern. It's showing a pattern of how God would save man. And it showed that when he made the tabernacle, had Moses make the tabernacle. And then it showed also, it revealed God. God revealed himself to a sinner. He revealed himself to man who dead in sin. In other words, he can't be spiritual with him because he dead spiritually. It's like when you witness to a sinner, the sinner can't relate to spiritual things, but you can teach him natural things that'll give him a picture of the spiritual thing. And that's what the tabernacle was for. But this was God and his law in the Old Testament to reveal to man that although he's in the law couldn't make him perfect, but there's coming a day that he's sending his son is going to redeem man and do for man what couldn't be done any other way. And God's doing it because of his love. Can you say amen? All right, quickly. So the word says, go back to 1 John, talking about the love now. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Underline that word live. That we might live through him. That's that Zoe life. We would have the Zoe life of God, that we would live through him. Amen. Herein is love, verse 10. Read verse 10 with me, those of you who can hear me. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, circle that, check, put a check or something by your Bible, in your Bible. What God is saying, that he said he loved us while we were yet sinners, but he shows what he did. He shows what he did. Herein is the love. He said the love of God for us was present in God, and that was an action. That was an action that matched that love. Lord have mercy. What are your actions that match your love for God? Come on, somebody. Are you a convenient Christian? Are you giving your life to serve, to be a blessing to someone else? Your Christianity is not measured by houses, cars, better jobs, more money. It's not measured like that. It's measured by your heart. God's love. Amen. Do you love the undeserving? Do you love the unresponsive? Amen. Do you love the unlovable? That's what God measures. That's who we were. It says herein. The key word is herein. Herein is love. Now, he's defining this Valentine's. Amen. You giving Valentine's to somebody and done something for you. For the most part. Look at somebody and say, for the most part. Yeah. See, that's not the God kind of love. Amen. Be my Valentine if somebody done been something to you already. I'm going on. See, God, we're talking higher than that. We're going higher than that. You're in a bigger game than that. You in the real thing. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I mean, you in the real thing. You giving so much love out till it's coming to you all from everywhere because you're constantly sowing. Amen. Amen. Some people love more picky than they eat. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like this. So, listen, let us love one another. You know the church, the body of Christ, is born of love. One thing people should pick up when people come in the body of Christ is love. A lot of people like in a teaching ministry, you just want to know more. Oh, it's true. It's not wrong with wanting to know more. I want to know more. But are you better? You can know more and not be better. You can be smarter than you ever was, know more Bible verses than you ever knew, and be meaner than you ever been. The word says knowledge puffeth up. The more you know, the more pride you have. The more pride you have, can't nobody tell you nothing. That's why we'll say, hey, stay humble. Stay teachable. Stay lovable. Amen. Amen. Don't say nothing sometimes, even when you know the answer. Just let somebody else have the answer. Even if they're wrong, give them a shot at it. Let them, you know, unless they're driving. I don't let them drive. Let's go. But the word says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth where? In us. And his love is what? Is what? Perfected in us. Now, we want God's love perfected in us. God's calling card is love. We want God's love perfected in us. And it says the way it's done, if God, he said that, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Amen. Now, you can have God in you, but cause him to be active in you. Amen. Activate the God in you. Amen. Through the love of God. Because he's love. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, all right, hold it. Let me put the brakes on this here. Maybe I'll get to finish it. So here you're looking at 1 John, but the reference is to God the Father and Jesus his Son. Okay, God the Father and his Son Jesus. Now, what occurs is this frame of reference is this is written to save people. This is written to save people. It's information to save people. It's a challenge to save people. It's an identifier to save people that your mark of growth is the love of God. All right, here, you in God, but are you growing in love? Are you pursuing the love of God? Is the love of God big to you, or is something else big to you other than the love of God? Now, what happens is, this is how we know God. You're born again. This is God the Father. This is not the second person of the Godhead. See, what happened, Jesus brought us to this position. Right here, this conversation right here, he said, when it references Jesus, it talks about God sending him. It talks about God sending him, amen, to cause us to be born again. We couldn't be born again unless salvation was made available. Jesus came and he paid the price to make salvation available. He's called the Savior. The second person of the Godhead is the Savior. Now, he operates in that. And so, when he came as the Savior, amen, when he left, he left as the Savior, and now he's the High Priest. He's a faithful High Priest. He's the second person of the Godhead. And so, what we understand, and the Bible says, in that day you shall ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Are you? And remember, over in Mark 11:22-23, it says, have faith in God. All right, now, what does it say? Have faith in God. Now, we're talking about the first and second person of the Godhead. Say Godhead. All right, now, it's important to understand, in the New Testament, Jesus, amen, caused the New Testament to be brought about by his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, he shed his blood on our behalf. And so then the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, came into the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit, amen, is the third person of the Godhead. It's God the Spirit. They are three in one and one in three. They're all there together, but it's all God. It's called the Godhead. Does this make any sense to you? Amen. So the third person of the Godhead is God spiritually in the earth. And he came on the day of Pentecost into his earthly ministry. So what you have in the, okay, let's go back. And I think I'll be able to close with this here. Okay, you had God, when you look at Abraham, you know, and Sarah, you know, in the Old Testament. There in the Old Testament, they had the law and the Levitical priesthood in your Bible. If you just start going through those books, the Levitical priesthood and, you know, Deuteronomy and all that, they were dealing with God the Father. And then the prophets, amen, you know, Isaiah, all of them, they were dealing directly with God the Father. Are you with me? There was no mediator. Now, they had priests, they had high priests in the Levitical priesthood, which was ordained, but here, and God put structures in place where every year they had to bring the offering into the tabernacle based on what their sins were. See, until there was a law, there was no sin. You gotta break the law to sin. So if there was no law, nothing was a sin. So the Levitical law, when you look at Levitical priesthood and see what we're priesthood too. So you have to see where the priesthood come in. Lord have mercy. Here it is. This is the fundamental. All right, so you look where the priesthood coming. Now, that's Old Testament. I'm telling you where it is. So when you look at the Levitical priesthood, they handle the things of God, all the things of God. So when the priest came in, you know, once a year, and then he went into the holiest of holies. It wasn't the real holiest of holies, but it was a picture that this is what the holiest of holies is. Amen. And the priest, high priest went in there once a year for the sins of the people and for his own sin. Because nobody was born again. All right, quickly. So here, it's important. And these are some things a lot of times people have questions to ask. And say, okay, you understand how this comes together. Now, after Jesus came as the Savior to redeem man. Now, when you get over in Hebrews, and you look at Hebrews 10 and 9, I was going to go, you just make a note of, you look at 9 and 10 in Hebrews before you get over to these faith Hall of Fame. When you look at Hebrews there, it's referencing the priesthood and Jesus. It's referencing the priesthood and Jesus, and it's showing, because it's New Testament now. It's New Testament, and anybody saved, you in the New Testament. So what it's doing is showing us in the New Testament that the high priest, Jesus is a faithful high priest. He became the faithful high priest back in the Gospels after he died and was raised from the dead, and he left. Remember when he left and the angels say, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For in like manner he shall return. Remember that? Remember we covered that? We'll be back on that at Easter. And so he gone, he left to get into his priesthood position, seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. See, saints, listen, you look at the Bible and you see what it says, we've been redeemed from and redeemed to. Okay, but Jesus is sitting, he's our advocate and high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us. Where he intercedes for, where he lived, ever lived to intercede. He's our advocate. All right, now, that's the position Jesus is still in, because the Holy Ghost is in his earthly ministry. Somebody say earthly ministry. All right, so now look up. Only two essences of the Godhead have been in their earthly ministry. Two of them. God, when God dealt directly with mankind, the Holy Ghost, who's in his earthly ministry now. Amen. This is why it's so valuable that you are conscious of the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, and you listen to those gifts of the Spirit. That's only for the church age. Because in the rapture, he's going to leave. He, the Holy Ghost, is going to leave. Okay, but at the end of the rapture, at the end of the tribulation, Jesus is coming. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus is coming, and he's going to be in his earthly ministry. He hadn't had his earthly ministry. He had not been in his earthly ministry yet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The word said he'll reign for 1,000 years. He hadn't done that yet. He was only here for 33 years. He came as the Savior. And so when you look at like Revelation, all the things it said, Revelation is given a picture of the tribulation, what the earth is going to go through. Amen. When the war of Armageddon, when Jesus come and stop the war so man wouldn't totally destroy himself, he's going to rule 1,000 years. See, that's his earthly ministry. He won't be like he was during the tribulation, doing his as the 33 years as the Savior. No, nobody will deal with him because he's ruling. He's in rulership. Come on, somebody. Dude, that might help him, anybody. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, whenever you're reading or studying the Bible, like right now, you're in John. You're in John. The Holy Ghost is in his earthly ministry, the teacher. And you look at the Bible reveals what he does, the gifts of the Spirit, how he reveals the gift of interpretation, all the different gifts, supernatural faith. Those are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the earth. Quickly, so the word says, no man has seen God at any time, and we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, who the major player in these scriptures here in this dispensation? The Holy Ghost. When you're out of fellowship, you're not hearing the voice of God. But see, the thing is, you can be baptized, when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're going to hear from God at a very high level. He's going to be telling and revealing things to you you wouldn't come up with on your own. So it's revealed, these gifts of the Spirit. They're His gift. That's Him. Not yours, His. He's revealing. But there had to be a sensitivity when you read what He does. Amen. You say, well, I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning and God was telling me such and such and such. Wonder why that was. Well, it was out God. That was the Holy Spirit. He's in an earthly ministry. That's what He does. And so when you pray, when you take time to pray in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying for. But the Holy Ghost knows that you need to pray, and then He will tell you what you were praying about. What you're doing, you are giving Him access, amen, through your authority as a believer, amen, in your life, to operate. See, you have to authorize in your life. Come on, somebody. You have to authorize things in your life. And your words authorize them. So the Holy Ghost, you pray in the Holy Ghost, He has your words releasing Him to bless your life or people around you. Well, how is that? I don't even know what I said. He does. And He'll give you interpretation and show you what you were praying about. Well, I just don't understand. Well, pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll reveal it to you. That's God. That's God, the Spirit. He knows everything. Amen. He knows this week before this week comes. So, in any case, this love of God, saints, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, verse 13, because He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. Read that verse with me. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yeah. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And when He sent Him, and the Son left after He finished and sent the Holy Ghost to administrate His will on earth. You have to put it together. Well, He did all that. Why we need the Holy Ghost? And Jesus already did that. He's the administrator of the will. I say He's the administrator of the will. Why? Because the testator died. The testator. That's a person who had all the power and all the authority. They died. You know, your granddad and them left a farm in 25 acres or 100 acres and $2 million. Well, they're going to send somebody who's not dead to read the information to tell who get what. And to legally make sure you get it. That's the Holy Ghost. He's the administrator of the will. So when you pray according to the will, when you find something in there according to the will, I was finding this stuff in the Bible. I didn't know that it was all in there. It's all right there. What belongs to you? Amen. Let church say amen. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. Praise God. Woo, Jesus. I'm excited for Jesus. Amen. Say this one. Say the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Say 1 and 3. 3 and 1. Now, there are religious groups that don't believe that. So when they come to your house with the green book, I'm telling you ahead of time, they don't believe in 3 and 1, 1 and 3. It's known as the doctrine of the Trinity. I would ask for a show of hands, but some of you were taught against the doctrine of the Trinity. In them study groups. You was in them study groups. They come to your house and teach you that the doctrine of the Trinity, and they show it to you in their green book. I don't mean no harm, y'all. But I'm just telling you. You break out the Bible and say, show it to me in here, in this book right here. Yeah, the devil is a liar. You don't have to apologize to the devil. He's a liar. God already gave you the scouting report on it. Yeah. When you die, you're done. It's over. Ain't nothing after the grave. That's another doctrinal error they teach. That's not it. But we take time to give you the truth. Amen. To give you the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus just called Lazarus back. Come back. Call him Lazarus. And why did he call Lazarus? He wouldn't have called Lazarus. Some other people would have come. Amen. It's amazing the power and authority we have. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, those of you who are joining me, amen, by Facebook or YouTube, if you pray this prayer, say, God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and he died for my sins. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Savior and my Lord. I receive you now by faith, not by feelings, but by faith. I'm not lost anymore, but I'm saved. I'm born again. Jesus, as a faithful high priest, baptize me with the Holy Spirit according to your word and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, I believe that I receive. I'm now saved. I'm empowered with the gifts of the Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost according to the word of God. In Jesus' name. I'll never be the same. Never again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may look up. Well, glory to God. Let the church give me a big amen. Amen. And those of you out there, praise God. Hallelujah. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what happened. You prayed a prayer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll give it a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, you'll be asking questions you didn't ask. You'll be making statements you didn't make. It's like it'll come alive to you. Amen. Get your Bible. Go over there in Corinthians and read about it. Amen. It's the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was saved in whatever year that was, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost 13 years later. You cannot believe God beyond your level of the knowledge of the Word. You got to hear the Word to produce the faith to believe it. You hear the Word of God produced faith in God. God's Word produced faith in God. Jesus on the earth. Amen. In Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Why would Jesus tell them to have faith in God? Well, one, Jesus had not been to the cross, and it had not been established by all the people that knew him around that he was the Messiah. But as he was ministering, he said, have faith in God. See, if we read that, you said, Jesus is saying, in other words, where I came from. He said, have faith in God. The Old Testament, the word was there. Prophecy had already said, God sending his son. His son turned around and said, have faith in God. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. God loves you. God the Father loved you. God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. El Shaddai. Amen. Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. He loves you with an everlasting love. He made you unique and splendor. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In his image and in his likeness. And the more you know of God, you'll realize you his handiwork. For it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Amen. Well, let church say amen. Stand to your feet if you would. We've got to go.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.